welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
You know, this week's game has me a little bit scrambled.
Oh, shit, right out the gate.
I know, right? Like, right I was looking up a bunch of chicken yolks, and,
Oh, shit.
Oh, they're coming thick and fast. That's right.
Everyone is a punch to the gut. Everyone is a slap to the face. Oh, God.
This is entirely my fault. I will admit that I saw this game on Steam, and I just watched like 10 seconds of the trailer and picked the phone up, and I was like, oh, my God, Brian, make it happen. Because, I revel in absurdity. It is my favorite thing. And then chicken jokes come in a quick second. Because chickens are funny, right? Like, why? It's universal that chickens are funny.
They're birds that can't fly, so...
Yeah, they're
very nature.
It's like the rubber chicken is
classic.
Historically... Yeah, it's classically... goes clear back to vaudeville. They didn't really have rubber in the Middle Ages, but I'm sure that the court jesters had something to do with the chicken even then. Turkeys, not so funny. But yes, ostriches, pretty funny, big chicken, but you know, and pickles are funny. I don't know why.
Because they're phallic.
I guess so. So, yeah. But anyway, unfortunately, this is not a game about flicking pickles, but this is flicking chicken.
Fortunately. Folks, a minor programming note. Due to some circumstances beyond his control, we are temporarily losing Hunter as a co-host for a while. He's going on sabbatical.
Yeah, but he got a sweet job. I'm not going to say where. But
I know. He just moved. He just got a sweet job. So he's just got to get his shit sorted out. And that's fine. We here at the Space Game Junkie Podcast are just a little sad. We feel like we hardly knew him, and we're already losing him.
Yeah, but he's still going to game with us. He's contractually obligated that anytime we fire up, like, Ark or Space Beast or something and he's online, he's going to get sucked in. It's going to happen. So,
anyway, so Godspeed, Hunter. Godspeed.
Yes.
So, folks, this week we have three guests calling in. Are you all in Canada? Are you all in Montreal?
Yeah, we're all from Montreal.
Okay, so we got three guests from Artifice Studio in Quebec, Montreal, Canada. Unlike the United States, you got to say three things. Actually, no, you could say Los Angeles, California, United States, but us Americans just assume everyone knows where that is. So
yeah,
we don't
you just say,
United States.
I'm from L.A.
Oh. I'm from L.A., and everyone knows.
Right.
Everyone knows.
Because it's so bad, no other place would ever name themselves that and risk the confusion, is I think. Well, there is Los Angeles, Patagonia.
Well, I also think Louisianans might not be too happy with us taking
That's true.
Los Angeles. But anyway, joining us from Quebec, Montreal, Canada, we've got three folks from Artifice Studios. Jan Pepin, co-founder.
Hi.
Vincent Blanchard, also co-founder.
Hey, everyone.
And Adam Rotondo, community manager.
Pretty much, yes. Hi, how's it going?
I think you guys sent me other titles, and I forgot to add them to my notes. I apologize.
Aside from all that, we're all pretty much game designers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Y'all wear multiple hats.
Yeah.
In a small company, that pretty much happens.
Are you three the whole thing? Is all three of you?
No, definitely not. There's multiple programmers. Our art director lives like in Trois-Rivières. There's people all over the place, but the main group is in the office we have in Longueuil, just south of Montreal.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Now, before we get into conflicts, this is the game we're primarily here to talk about. You guys did a game before this.
Yeah.
How do you say the name of that game?
Sans froid. Well, in English it would be. It's a name in French.
Right.
We're from Quebec, so.
Sure.
We are, our native tongue is French. So, it was a game about Canadian folklore. You played as two lumberjacks, and you had to defend your house against hordes of werewolves.
Right.
And so it means cold blood.
Oh, okay.
If you look in the Merriam-Webster dictionary in English. It's an English expression. It's accepted as an English expression. It was used during the Second World War to describe how the British were, you know,
fearless kind of thing.
Yeah, we're staying calm under stress. We thought it would be because the game was kind of stressful and you needed to stay calm. And it was also there was a lot of blood. Well, not too much, but kind of
some. A little blood. Bit of blood.
Yeah, with the werewolves. So we thought that Sangfroid was a good name. But
it's a nice little mix between English and French. So that was what we kind of wanted to merge the culture together.
I have a confession. I've owned the game for a while, and I've just never gotten around to playing it, which is a problem we've never had before.
Yeah, right? No, Steam kind of does that to you. I think I have like 70 or 80 games in my Steam account, and I've played maybe 10.
Oh, I did a thing where there's a tool, I forget where it is, but it calculates how many, the percentage of your library you have not played.
Yeah.
I have not played 66% of my library.
But you should play Sangfroid.
I will. No, it got, from what I remember, it got really good critical appraise.
Yeah, no, it got pretty good reviews, yeah.
Yeah, and so I want to play it. It looks really neat. It's kind of like a tower defense-y slash tactical-y.
It's like a mix between strategy and action. So you set up your traps and you plan all your attack. You plan your defense, you plan your attack, and then at night you have to execute.
Right, so it's kind of like games like Orcs Must Die and stuff where you're planning traps, you're planning defenses. But it looked like it was more on a wider open map rather than like a cattle shoot.
It's very similar to Orcs Must Die, but kind of like way more tactical.
Right. Which looks awesome. Again, I'm going to have to play it. I apologize. I was focused on playing this. I'm just going to make another confession right off the bat. I am horrible at this game. Conflict. I am terrible at it. I don't know why, but I can't get past the first solo mission. I got my ass kicked by the AI in multiplayer, and that's not the game's fault. That's just my fault because this game is a little different. You know,
yeah, it's a lot different compared to normal RTSs.
Yeah, and so let's talk about that. So where did the concept for this game, instead of like dragging and stuff, where did the concept for flicking ships using kind of like a it was a thing where you had, where you were, it was like a toy you had as a kid. It had a thing in the back. You'd pull it and the car would roll across the rug or something. You know what I'm talking about? It was like that.
Something like that. Like
Game of Marble or something.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Well, it kind of reminds me of Shuffleboard, right? A little bit because, there's like a desktop Shuffleboard. There's this company that I worked at and they bought this thing and it was like a wooden table. It almost looked like a miniature bowling alley. And then they had, they would put like some kind of, like a grit on it to make these pucks slide.
Oh, and, yeah, no, they have those at bars.
Yeah, I'd never seen that before, but it's like having played some of that, and there was a game that was, I remember from my childhood, there was something that was kind of like that, but, there was rubber bands on the corners. So it was almost like miniature golf where you'd have to, like flick this thing and bounce it around and then hit the guy's pucks, you know, away from, but also, you know, from Canada, I do get a little bit of a curling vibe here, you know.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. There's
curling.
Shuffleboard, marbles, there's all kinds of flicking games could play. We were playing one that was a little like a racing game also. It was pretty interesting.
I need a feature request. Like if you need to get the ship to go just a little bit further, if I could have like a key on the keyboard that I bang on, and then like a little chicken with a broom comes out and sweeps in front of the ship.
It'd be good. But the idea was to make an RTS that would not be so intellectual. So because usually in RTSs you just click and your unit goes where you want, but the thing is it makes it a very, you know, if you're experienced you will know exactly where to send your troops every time, and then it it doesn't enable you to play with like chaos doesn't have a lot of importance. So we thought that if we could use chaos to make changing situations. So in conflicts, it's always about adapting to the situation.
Yeah, you always have to kind of think on your feet. In normal RTSs, if you're playing online in like StarCraft, you might lose in the first minute because you're so far behind if the other guys are really good.
Right.
Yeah, and, so, and the game is so chaotic that I think once, you know, I haven't yet experienced the multiplayer in it, but I played a skirmish thing with the AI. And just trying to keep track of what three other players are doing and then figure out how, because you have a timing element, because you can't flick the things too often. It has a cooldown on all their abilities, but they have different abilities and they spend different amounts of power off the bar at the bottom of the screen. Initially, whenever I looked at the game, I thought, well, this is going to be turn-based, right? Because I have that many action points and then it's the other player's turn, but it's not. So that bar refills based on how many chickens you have on the planets, then? Is that like your recharge rate?
Yeah, well, your recharge rate, you have a passive one that's with your flagship, so no matter what, you'll always get some meta matter. But when you have planets colonized with a henship, then you'll constantly be getting more faster.
Okay. Yeah.
So you definitely do want planets.
And I think we have to explain to people what's going on here. So you...
I love the setting, by the way.
I need to know, like, if you guys were from Vancouver, I would completely understand because, like, the pot smoke is thick over Vancouver, right? just, like, what kind of drugs were involved in the development of this game? Because, so you have chickens, which have, I love the name, the chick Rothy. Which is a wing commander play, right? So it's the space chickens have risen up, and then the whole like Greater Britain, the pipe phone. I thought the pipe phone was particularly interesting lore. So it's like you guys took the Victorian weirdness and just turned it up to 11, and I love that. And it's got a little bit of a Monty Python animation feel to it. And
the chickens are kind of like a catalyst, basically.
So which came first, the chicken or the... Oh, gosh.
The chicken and then the metamatter, right? But in all seriousness, it's just because, like, the idea behind it was if we took, that era, okay, like, that era in human history and gave them an infinite power, that's exactly what metamatter is. It lets you do absolutely anything. What could they possibly come up with? So that's why you have like the pipe phones, and later on in the game, you might see someone in a lifeboat that's literally like he's in space on a little boat and he still has oars with like jetpacks on it to like make a move. It's like it's very grounded in its reality. Well, not really grounded, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I gotta say I love the setting. I love the alternate history thing going on here. I've always kind of been a fan of alternate history stuff, and you guys have definitely added an unique bent.
Yeah, usually alternate history has to deal with like Nazis like storming like America or something like that.
Well, I have not yet encountered any Cthulhu mythos in the game, but it's almost like. It won't be there, but it could be there, you know, because it's just weird enough, right? Like the old gods will come for your eggs, but yeah, that's the other thing, right? Is that like there's other games that are Victorian weird, right? But they always tend to go for the Cthulhu thing. So and that's kind of where that comes up is like Fallen London and what was the boat game that they made from that?
Sunless Sea.
Yeah, Sunless Sea, which is a really cool game, and it's got that vibe too, but your game is kind of like a fun circus of weird, and their thing they're trying to be like creepy fun weird, so completely different theme.
Other ends of the spectrum,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. And I love them both because I love weird, and it's
not weird for weird. You have to of course the premises of the universe are quite silly, but having silly premises doesn't mean that the story is meaningless or that we just took anything. In fact, we were inspired directly from history. Like our history starts when Leonardo da Vinci discovered metamatter by using egg yolk, and he does some things. We don't know how he discovered he made the metamatter, but he's able to do that. And the metamatter enables him to do whatever he wants. But then he dies, and then people on Earth at that time, it's in the 16th century, they get the metamatter and they do all sort of stuff with it. But to have more metamatter, they need more hen houses. And so soon enough, the planet is filled with hen houses, and they need to conquer space. And it's easy because they have the metamatter. So this is a kind of a metaphor of the technology we have. Like with technology, we can do a lot of things, but at the same time, it doesn't solve any real issue. And what in our game is people who are quite barbarians, but at the same time, they have an infinite technology. And I wanted to show that even with infinite technology, those guys, you know, are kind of ridiculous.
Do you make
it's the same thing
self without, you know, the evolution of philosophy and how you think, the evolution of the society. If you just have technology, it serves no point.
So did you take the opportunity in there to maybe expound on how Earth had become just a dumping ground for chicken shit at that point, and like,
well, not necessarily
because tech.
No, they kind of left. They still have like territories on Earth.
Okay,
they didn't leave just because there's nothing there.
Well, I figured Earth would have become uninhabitable because it's like, yeah. I have a hen house and I know what that's like.
Well, yeah, they have their palaces, but they mainly use space to drop their chicken shit and everything. And
they
so
have,
they
like areas that are like the ground slaughter.
Yeah. So if you look at the main map in the campaign, you'll see you have two places we call the slaughterhouses, where you see millions upon millions of dead chickens flying in space, and that's where they send all their debris, all their chicken waste. Yeah, but if you look at the map of the universe, in fact, it's in the shape of the solar player.
You can see it.
Yeah, so it's in the shape of Europe, and it's not a mistake. It's just because we wanted our universe to be a deforming mirror of
like a caricature of our own universe.
Mm. Yeah. So if you look at different empires, the Greater Britain, the Celestial Empire, the Sacred Alliance, or the Sublime Gate, they all struggle with problems our societies in Occident deal with today. So the story about Wilbur Pitbottom, the hero from the Greater Britain, is about outrageous capitalism.
Is it the Sublime Gate that has their mothership looks like a psychedelic Taj Mahal? I love those guys. That's so cool.
The Sublime Gate is like the Turkish or the Ottoman Empire kind of thing.
Yeah, and so for the Sublime Gate, the story of the Sublime Gate revolves around censorship and
like Big Brother.
Yeah, a bit like so. How our liberties are controlled by the state. For Sacred Alliance, it's about religious fanaticism. For Celestial Empire, it's about political corruption. So, you know, if you look a bit deeper, it's not a game about
silly premises. Like we have,
it's like very Wonderland. It starts with weird things. Like you have a girl. She goes into a rabbit hole and she drinks different kind of potions. She shrinks. She grows huge and all that stuff. But if you look a bit closer, you will see that, you know, it's not just about drugs. You know, it has more meaning than what we can see at first glance.
So how long is the single player campaign?
It really depends. It changes. There's 21 missions. No, there is 21 missions. It depends how long it takes you to beat them, I guess. I'm not sure if you're talking about length or mission-wise.
No, I'm just talking about number of scenarios. So, the 21. Oh,
yeah. So 21 missions, yeah.
Do you guys have it, like, in the future? Because I'm sure, people will get through that, and they'll play the multiplayer. But it sounds like, the world that you've developed and kind of the messages that are 21 missions to kind of get all that content across. I think what it's going to do is get me interested in the perspective of the other factions. And I would kind of like a campaign for each of them. So do you have it where you can? Oh, there is.
Yeah. The campaign spans all four factions plus the Chikorati afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Story of four heroes who revolt against their empire and join the Chikorati Federation to make a revolution.
Chikorati.
That's the synopsis. That's the
scope of the story, yeah.
Scope, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you start out as the guy from Greater Britain, so I thought maybe you'd be there for the duration.
No, four missions, and then you have four missions with the Celestial Empire, four missions with the Sacred Alliance, four missions with the Sublime Gate, and then five missions with the Revolution. So you cover the entirety of the universe in 21 missions. So it's designed so that you understand every faction.
What I would really love to see is the next game, because please tell me there will be another game in the series. But if it was actually a 4X type game where you actually took one of those empires, but combat was still the flick thing. Like to get between planets and everything, the flick thing stayed, but you could do a real time ish 4X with this,
you have to take over sectors with all your ships. Like the battles would take place in the sectors, and then if you won, you would get the sector, and then it could be interesting. And it would definitely be way different, but
I could build a star base like a giant KFC bucket. And
Yes. So I've got the map up on the stream now. It's really kind of fascinating how well you've created this. I love, like, what's the Great Slaughter? What are the Seven Veils? There's just the Little Slaughter. Oh, that's great. You have a big slaughter and a little slaughter.
Before, the Little Slaughter and the Great Slaughter are where everyone dumps their chicken waste. Because they don't like having it around them, right?
Oh my god, you know what you guys need in here? You need, for people that are really into the lore, you need a Chickopedia. And
we actually have a wiki up right now, and I'm actually adding to it. I'll put it in the Twitch.
Okay, I would link that from straight in the game. Call it the Chickopedia.
That's great. The Cluckopedia.
You can actually head over there and check out the wiki that has information on all the ships. Like stats that has information about the worlds, the characters, the factions, and stuff like that. So there's a lot of lore in the game. And we're going to try and put that on our Steam forum also and all over the place, really.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, and I like how your mothership isn't an immobile thing, right? It's very slow. It has a short flick distance and a long refresh. And it takes a lot of meta matter to move it. But you're not stuck in a fixed location. So if you are taking the time to move that thing, then that can make other players' lives a little bit more complicated, right? Because
it's always a good idea to move it too.
Yeah, and it reminds me. There's so many things actually that this game puts me in mind of, right? Because it's like at first blush you look at it and you think, well, maybe it's like Angry Birds Space, right? Because you kind of shoot a bird and it goes orbiting around planets and stuff, and there's that kind of a mechanic like that here, right? Because there's a definite gravity well, and that's a good way to destroy people is to just bounce them into the gravity well. But it's kind of like you're playing space pool as well, billiards. Because whenever you knock a ship in, it'll displace the other ships. And then a big part of the strategy is what can I knock them into, right? If I knock them into an asteroid, if I knock them into the gravity well and they get sucked into the planet, and all that stuff. So there's a lot of angular kind of brain work that's going on while you're playing this. But you also have to think, and this is the part that makes it difficult for me, is I have to think about what the refresh timers are on the abilities, because I'll get over looking at something else and then my other ships have have you know, refreshed, and then I'm not back over there fast enough to deal with them. And then if you get ships that are in combat, then they're steadily losing health because, you know, it's real time, so they're going to continue to shoot at each other. And then it's like, well, it's not just can I get enough guys over there, but can I get them over there quickly enough? And then you've got the unit that has the tractor beam, and then once I discovered, oh yeah, I should build a fleet and then build the guy with the tractor beam and drag them all over there together, and then it's much more efficient. And yeah, so there's a lot of depth here, basically, is what I'm saying. There's depth, but there's also a distinct time pressure, so you don't have a lot of time to think about it. So I think it's going to be there's a learning curve here, and I don't say that that's a bad thing, right? Because
I think there's a learning curve with any RTS, really. But the whole thing is with the controls, we wanted it to be accessible so anyone could really play. But there's a lot of depth and there's a lot of strategy in it. There's a lot of positioning. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with it that if you get really good and you really think about it, you can do all kinds of things with this game.
Yeah, I think the number one thing you should do right now is push for a Korean localization. Because if this game is big in Korea, you guys are going to be superstars. That's
yeah, they love their RTSs, eh?
They totally do. Oh, wait, so
A lot of time when people start playing conflicts, they tend to play like if it was a standard RTS. So they just move their ships close to another ship and they wait that their ship just destroy the other ship with its laser, its lasers. But in fact, it's really a game about bumping. You always need to check how you can bump, because when you bump someone, you don't get as much damage as the enemy you bump into. When you, like, now you just bumped a friendly unit, so nobody got any damage, but it's really always about how can I bump someone in an asteroid, in the gravity field of a planet. It's always, you always have to think about bumping, and in this way, it really gets strategic, because a very small vessel can sometime destroy a whole fleet. Like, for example, your frigate now, if it gets bumped, the whole fleet will drop in the planet, for example. Oh. So you can kill five ships in one shot with a small ship. So this enables a lot of situation change when one guy is losing and then he starts.
Yeah, you can make a comeback really easily sometimes.
Yeah.
One well-placed flick. But one thing you guys people have to realize, though, is that all these ships are super expendable. I mean, a lot of the times when you're playing other RTSs, you make one super unit and you want to protect it because it's like you spend so many resources just to make it and it's so strong. But in our game, your resources are always refreshing. Even though the cooldowns for some ships are a little longer than others, you shouldn't be too worried when you lose a ship because another one can replace it just as easily. It's kind of like Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
everyone's going to die eventually.
It seems like
so. Don't worry about
like
it too
much.
Don't get too attached.
It seems like the budget for production is more expense of your time to go over there and make them than it is of how much resources it burns, right? Because it's just like I have to go to the mothership and make them.
Oh.
I that's the opportunity cost if I could be flicking my other ships around. So, yeah, it seems to work out pretty well. And especially once you get a couple of planets that are cranking out metamatter, then I don't really think expense is a big concern. It's more about the refresh timers.
Yeah. So that would be the one reason why you'd be worried about losing a ship. But at the same time, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, and then
it's going to happen a lot.
Well, and then you've got the refuel stations where you can actually, if you land on a refuel station, then you just flick the ship again and you don't pay anything for it. So you can get a lot of distance, but you have to be fast and accurate. So
yeah, exactly.
But
it's
a blessing
it's a lot of
you've got that you've got that distance ring. So because otherwise, if there was like a super hard mode, you know, that's a thing. Whenever you select difficulty levels, I'm a bit disappointed that there isn't like a hard boiled mode.
Oh, it was too hard. When we originally were creating the game, there was no distance ring, and it was very hard to aim shots. It's easier now.
But
you know, you still miss shots. Even I miss shots, even though I have the distance ring. Like, yeah. Angles are hard sometimes.
But, well, I mean, just call the hard mode hard-boiled.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And then the easy would be, like, over-easy. And
it's a good idea.
Yeah, so
you're definitely going to steal that.
But, yeah, it's I don't know. It would be in multiplayer, especially like once people get good at this, it would be interesting to be able to choose a hard mode where it's like, yeah, we're going to turn those rings off and good luck, you know? So
the one thing I would be like reserved about calling it hard boiled is because we've refrained from using any egg puns in the entire game almost.
Oh, okay.
So,
it's funnier because it takes itself seriously. That honestly,
almost, yeah, pretty much.
We were inspired a lot by Baron, the Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Oh, I love that movie!
It's like Baron Munchausen uses a big ship, and he flies with his ship once in his adventures. So it's one of the main inspiration, and especially the Terry Gilliam movies, the Adventures of Baron Munchausen. So it's funny because the Baron is always taking himself seriously, even if he tells tall tales. If he acted like he knew he was funny, then it would not be funny. So it was really important that we tell the old tale in a very serious way, even if we knew that it was silly sometimes, but you
know. Yes. Outrageous.
So one thing that I want to hear about is the artwork in here, because the game is just absolutely beautiful, and yes, and in several different styles of, right, because you've got kind of the Victorian wood print look in some things, and you know, that, and then the in space here, and we're looking at that gorgeous background with the constellations in it and stuff. There's so much detail of this, and I could take any screen from this game and just make it my wallpaper and be happy with it, right? So so who did all this?
Well, it was our art director, Dominic. He's fantastic. He's actually old friends with both Jan and Vince.
Yeah, he also did the music. One guy made the graphics and the music.
Oh wow!
Neat. Really, so Brian's got a thing on the screen there. I want to call out. Zoom in on that planet that's got the colonization going on, because when you colonize a planet, you're actually dropping chickens on it.
Chickens.
And then the other ships that come over, before they can colonize it, they have to zap all the other chickens off the planet, which is hilarious to watch because it's actually, you know, blasting the chickens off. But it's just like, as soon as I saw that, I knew I was in the right place. So. I came to the right town.
It's great because you have a planet here where you have two ships trying to take over and two ships trying to fortify.
So it's actually pretty funny because if you have four of your ally ships trying to colonize a planet, and then other teams, even though they're not on the same team, their hen ships will eradicate yours. So if like they'll kind of work together until the planet's completely eradicated, and then they'll fight to try and colonize it together. Like it's pretty funny.
So does a colonizing hen ship put chickens down at the same rate that a destroying hen ship will cleanse them off, or can you actually outpace the destruction and still get the planet?
No, it's even. So if you have one hen ship, each, they'll cancel each other out. You always have to have more hen ships than the other team.
So
the other person.
And generally, he's going to be on the other side of the planet, so you have to figure out how to flick around the planet and hit him.
Exactly.
And that's
where special abilities come in, because like for instance this the Sacred Alliance, their patrol ship is able to teleport, so you can teleport to the other side of the planet and knock the hen ship into the planet, so that's very useful, right? But of course not everyone can do that.
Yeah, I was having fun with the gravity, right, trying to figure out how I could actually sling myself around the planet without hitting it yet still come into contact with them, and yeah, pretty fun. But that's the thing. There's a variety of ways that you can solve the problem, because it's almost like it's an RTS with a little bit of a puzzle game in it. But
that was some of the goal. Yeah.
Oh, black hole! Oh no!
Yeah. So that's interesting. So the wormholes are just kind of randomly popping up there, huh?
Yeah. Is that like they come and go.
Okay, can you count on it to come back at some point?
It'll always come back, yeah. But it's kind of random how long it'll stay for and how long it'll be out for.
Oh, neat.
But they'll always come and go throughout the entire match.
Oh, okay.
Well, in some missions we have wormholes that stay open the whole time, though.
Yeah, but it never happens in multiplayer. In the sequence of single player, yeah, sometimes they are open constantly. But usually they're either open the entire time or they open and close.
Okay, so I noticed that you have bots that I can put in whenever I'm doing the friendly multiplayer. But there's no bots in the adversarial multiplayer. So it was, at least that I
know. There actually sort of is, if you want. So if you're in a free-for-all match and there's two people, or you go to a 2v2 match, you can actually play against that one person. And you can either play 2v2 against that one person with you each have a bot, or you can invite a friend in to play, you know, actually 2v2.
Oh, okay. People.
So there is a bit of flexibility there.
Hmm. So what is the difference between the friendly and the adversarial?
Well, with the competitive multiplayer, you get victory points and glory points. Sorry, and the glory points go towards our leaderboard that we'll be doing something with soon enough.
Okay.
Because the leaderboard right now, we'll have like monthly leaderboards with like little events and stuff like that.
Yeah, Brian, go into power progression because I want to talk about this a little bit.
Well, I want to talk about the leaderboard. I like how
that too.
I like how the studio is ranked number 8. Like, I don't know who Sirohei. That's how I'm going to say it. I don't know who that is, but he's pretty far ahead of everyone.
We're actually all grouped up in the middle, from Force Magic to Artifice Studio. That's all us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So who's his dudeness?
I'm not sure. Someone that bought the game.
Someone that bought the game and is playing it. And you see there are a decent amount of people already playing this stuff besides you guys. That's pretty cool. Yeah. You want me to look at the power thing? Power progression.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's sort of an achievement board that's there.
Oh.
But I want to know more about what this means.
This looks like a replacement for research. Like, it looks like you unlock it as you go. Is that kind of sort of accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. They're all based on using the ships. So you don't have to, like in certain games, sometimes when you're trying to get achievements, you always have to play a certain way just to get them. In our game, when you're getting the achievements, it's just literally you play competitive multiplayer. Using the ships will gain progression towards the achievement. Like using them normally, killing ships with them, using their abilities, you'll gain progression.
So it encourages you to have a varied fleet rather than just using one ship over and over and over.
Exactly.
But the ships have different special abilities that
ship has a different ability. Yeah.
Yeah. So you couldn't win with just one ship, even if you just wanted to build all the torpedo ships. You couldn't win with just that because they don't go very far and they're very weak.
Well, you can group them with frigates.
But what I'm saying is you can't like have just one type of, like in a lot of RTSs, I just want to build this one unit. I just want to dominate with tanks and I'm just going to use tanks and I'm going to dominate everything else. I'm just going to build tank. You can't do that with this game.
No, definitely variety is your friend in this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think one of the reasons I was losing is because I forgot that one ship. Was it the frigate? Has that tractor beam?
Yeah.
That can move guys around. That is super useful.
Very useful. I saw you had a little trouble with it, though. I didn't mention it. When you were trying to link them up, you moved all your ships away from the henship. You could have clicked on the henship, and you almost did it. But there was an icon to cancel the tractor beam just from the henship. So you would have kept them up all the other ones.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Can the
frigate drag the henship around, or it's too big?
For sure, no. Yeah, the frigate can grab anything it wants except for the flagship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
I was dragging.
Flagship.
It was dragging like 4 or 5 ships around at once.
Okay.
So the more you drag, the more it costs in metamatic units.
Right, which is pretty cool. But I didn't see that. But when I did that flick with the tractor beam, I didn't see the asteroid. And
yeah, I know. I saw that too.
That was like, oh shit, that was a
yeah. But you still got your ships where they needed to go. You just lost the frigate.
Yeah, that was really frustrating. That's really frustrating. All right, let's do this multiplayer thing.
Yeah,
we were just talking about it.
How does things work in the power progression here? So what's my reward for actually completing these?
Well, it says there. So, for instance, you're on the Essence of Greater Chaos. It shoots like an EMP that basically shuts down all the ships that are stuck inside of it. And that achievement lets it increases the duration of the I go back to it. Actually, I can't even remember anymore. It's just to the bottom right.
So is this like it modifies or yeah, adds power to the ship? It lasts 6 seconds ships?
Longer, and it's 10% longer range.
Yeah, so some of these are like the pyroplastic. The pyroplastic flow does 5% more damage with each rocket.
Yeah, they're like little buffs.
Hmm.
They're little buffs for each little ship.
Do you think that there's a chance that's going to unbalance things? Because like somebody that's been playing a while and unlocked this, is a newer player going to have trouble?
That's one of the things that people were bringing up in our forums. And personally, I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue, but we'll probably still address it no matter what, if it is a concern for the community. The thing with the achievements are they're not super powerful. Like, they're not, like, nothing doubles any damage or anything like that.
Yeah, like, this is 5% damage for each bullet. I mean, it adds up, like, but it's still not much. Yeah.
Exactly. People are saying they all add up, but they don't compound. Everything, all the achievements are for individual ships.
Mm.
But the thing is, when you get more achievements, of course you get stronger. But what we were going to implement for the competitive multiplayer was a matchmaking system that matched you with other people with the same amount of achievements, basically. So if you had, 50% of the achievements, you'd be paired against another person that has about 50% of the achievements.
Okay. Yeah. No, also, another thing would be put in a checkbox to just say, let's make all the ships stock, and that way we don't have to worry about it, because some people are going to probably prefer that.
And, yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah, if both players consent to it or whichever. I'm just looking at, like, what can we do to make this, like, a competitive e-sport? there needs to be, like, an observer mode and some announcer tools. And, if you could just get the announcer from Unreal Tournament in here.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Now, right. So we got two modes. We got two types of multiplayer, and you can have different teams and whatnot. So why don't we get some multiplayer going? Let's give this a shot.
Yeah. Did you add me on your friends list? I tried to add you before, but I think it said that you had too many friends.
Jan, I did add you. I did send.
Yes, it. I will. I will. Try.
Yeah, Jan's gonna start the game up, and he'll invite all of us.
Okay.
So you have to get out of the lobby.
Yeah.
Right, I did. I'm out of the lobby.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I really hate this leveling thing with Steam where it's like, you've maxed your friends list. Fuck you! I have more I know more people than this. Screw you, pal. Whoa.
That's a lot of chickens.
Holy jeez.
I'm not sure who that was, but sorry if it was me.
Yeah, and I thought the tutorial was very nicely done, too, by the way.
It was. It was very nicely done.
Because it's like, people don't realize how much time it takes to actually stick a good tutorial in a game, because that's like the equivalent of developing several levels of other gameplay, so it's a definite development factor that I think goes underappreciated.
Well, so, we actually we got complimented a lot for the tutorial in Sanfois also.
Tutorial movies. Brian?
Yes.
Did you receive the invitation?
I don't think I did. Could
you send... you have to do shift tab. It'll be in your Steam overlay.
There we go. Click here to join. Yes. That's a little weird on Steam's part. You received an invitation. Do I want to join? Yes, I do. Bring it. Oh, nice. Okay.
And then I'll try to add Azeron.
Yeah, I'm Alien Pickle on Steam.
Alien Pickle?
Yeah.
No wonder you're talking about pickles.
I know, right? That's pickles are funny. Chickens are funny. See, we get along. And if you get chickens and put pickles on it, then that's kind of a Chick-fil-A sort of thing.
Just add some freedom for us to that.
Yeah. I'm glad this game isn't like sponsored by Chick-fil-A, because then you wouldn't be able to play it on Sunday. Every time, man, every single time I want to go there, it turns out to be Sunday.
I never want to go. I've always hated Chick-fil-A. I've never liked Chick-fil-A at all. And this is even before their horrible stance.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say you're probably wrong.
Okay. I know people who love Chick-fil-A. I'm not one of them. We have a Chick-fil-A right down the street from us. It is all, it's like, have you ever seen an In-N-Out?
Yes.
At any time of day where the line is going out?
Oh my God. Everything? It's like that here, man. They actually get out in the parking lot. They're taking orders with a clipboard out in the street because so many cars.
Do they still have those?
Yeah.
They do that here, with the In-N-Outs and the Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A is always packed. Always.
Well, they need like two of them side by side to be able to handle the load. But yeah, and I think that's a testament to it, and that's really the reason that I always want to go on Sunday because that's the only time there's not a crowd.
Did you get the Jan's invite?
Ian Pickle, it says that you're offline.
Weird.
I see him in the game, and I see that in my overlay. Sorry, folks, you're watching the Sausage Made. I see that Alien Pickle is online and that he is in conflicts.
Are you at the main? I'm at the main menu, but I'll just exit out of Steam and back in. It's cool.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe.
And does it?
Try an IBM, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's because I just added you to my friends list. So.
That's possible.
Oh, I think you have to accept it or something.
Now, for multiplayer, these multiplayer skirmishes, are the maps set? Are they randomly generated? How do the maps work out in these
in,
games?
In friendly multiplayer, you can select the map. They're all pre-made maps.
Oh.
Right. I think he's going to redo it. Anyways, all the maps are pre-made. In competitive multiplayer, they're randomly selected when you start a game or start a match. In friendly multiplayer, you can choose which map you want to use.
Okay, and I forget, are there any ways to create maps currently?
Currently, no. It's an idea floating around to put in a level editor in, though.
Okay, because people love that shit, so...
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, for sure, they love it.
I'm imagining, like, some sort of a chicken-flicking roguelike that could also come out of this.
Kind of like FTL, but...
Yeah, but you're actually just trying to get across...
It's just the flagship.
You're trying to get across the road
yeah.
with the... I don't know.
Oh, for God's sakes. Okay, I got your invite. Click in here to join. It's weird. You got to do the overlay, and then you have to click accept in the game. It's like a weird... I'm really glad that Steam... exist for this sort of thing, or else we'd still be using Kali and 10. And,
well, if Steam didn't exist, they'd probably come up with another way, right?
Probably, but remember back in the day, we had like 80 of them. Like there was 10, and there was M Player, and their Prodigy. Remember Prodigy and Kali, and there were a bunch of others. All the games use all these different services.
Notice how everybody picks the Sacred Alliance for some reason.
That's funny, actually, because we've had people come in and they're like, they think the Sacred Alliance is the weakest.
I just defaulted to that. I'm going to go with what I know.
What's different in the factions? Because do they have essentially balanced ships that have the same roles, or does each faction have a ship that's different?
Each faction has the same class of ships, so everyone will have a patrol ship, a torpedo ship, a frigate, stuff like that. But each ship in each faction has a different special ability. So one patrol ship, like I said, the Sacred Alliance patrol ship can teleport across things. Like it can teleport through a planet, it can teleport through a nebula. But the British, the Greater Britain patrol ship gets Britannium spikes that do extra damage when you bump stuff. So they all play differently, and there's different strategies to employ with every different faction. That's why that's part of the depth of the game.
Right. So, okay. So we got to click the chicken.
Yeah.
So click the chicken.
You're mixing up the teams. We're doing 2-on-2.
I thought we were going to do 2-on-2.
Sure thing.
Just that me and Brian play as team one.
Okay.
And Duo Montreal and Alien Pickle.
Yeah, because it would be over really quick if you put me and Brian on the same team.
If you want, or we can do as we want. We could play
a free-for-all, but...
No, I feel better like hiding behind somebody else, so we'll be good.
All right, let's do the teams.
All right, so...
That sounds good to me. I'm going to touch my cock. I mean, my chicken.
Hey, now.
Sorry! Someone had to do it. Might as well be me. I have no problem saying the word cock.
Yeah, no, it was, I actually saw, I was looking on YouTube today and someone released a video that said, it was a conflict video, and it's like, time to take over the universe with my cock. like, I know, right? So bad.
Okay, all right.
All right, so all right, pick up your top right.
Am I? Okay.
On bottom left.
So the first rule of Chicken Club is you can't talk about Chicken Club.
Don't talk about Chicken Club. Just don't talk about
the same theme.
So, wait, which color is which?
Well, yeah, you kind of have to look around. We need a better way to tell you who is on your team. I know that I'm bottom left, and I looked around, and I found Alien Pickle top right. So you guys are top left, bottom right.
You can
Sorry?
You can click on the flagship, and if you look in the information window, you will see, let's say, if you click on the red flagship, which is mine, you will see Yam, and then you will see Team enemy. 1 and Allied or Enemy in parallel.
Oh, I see.
Mine will say Duo NTL Team 2.
I see. Okay.
Now, how hard do you want, like, this cocking?
I want the cock all over my face. Wait,
this is a family show now.
I'm sorry. We're going earlier now. I'm not used to this.
You're making this into some sort of exploitation.
Son of a bitch!
That's right. You can't handle the power.
I can't handle the power.
Look at that coming around the planet.
My special ability for this guy will teleport one of your ships.
Son of a bitch!
Right next to my flagship, though.
Son of a bitch! Ah! God damn it! Alright. You bastard. Alright. Oh man, yeah, this game. Yeah, this game will definitely take practice, I think, because this is not the easy. Like, this is so not used to how I'm used to playing these kind of games, you know?
Yeah, it's like you have to have a different thought process when you're playing this.
Oh shit. Oh, okay. I was worried that I was going to lose my guys to an asteroid right there, but I didn't. That was cool. All right, so let's get out of that. Okay.
All right, I'll come save you from Yan.
I don't know. Okay, I see. All right. I forgot that the flagship takes its own, it has its own move command. Like all the other ships, you can just pull and drag and go. But with the flagship.
Yeah, the reason why we did that is because sometimes when you're trying to do it something really, really fast and you select a ship and then you try and move, you try and create the ship, you end up moving your flagship, and then that is, it's a lot easier to select move on your flagship than cancel.
No, that makes a lot of sense because, yeah, you don't want to be moving your flagship like everywhere. You know?
Definitely not, no. That is a very calculated move that you need to do.
I do love how the flagship morphs into like, at least the British one morphs into like a giant cannon when it makes a unit. I really like that.
All right, well I'm pounding Yan good right now with my special ability. I'm just out of his range too, so it's kind of like really bad for him.
Well, you're right. That ship does look like a giant Taj Mahal.
Sure does.
That's pretty awesome. Oh, I can't move. Okay, I'm just going to keep making ships. Because all you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to just keep making ships.
Keep making ships is a good strategy.
Yeah, it sounds like a good strategy, doesn't it? Just make a very...
You should create 10 ships to chickenize more planets. Like the big planet in the middle.
Yeah, I got free reign on that.
So if you
I see. Okay, that's a good hint.
And if you look at the planet to the right, you only have one hand ship. You're the purple guy.
I'm green. I'm green.
Pickle should just bring another hand ship to this planet because I only have one hand ship. So if you have two hand ships, it will
You'll start
chickenize it, because right now it's mine. Let's say, for example, that I remove my handship here, then it will start to be yours, because you have one handship and I have none.
Now that you get two, you're starting to eradicate all the chickens. Oh, but you just...
Oh, that was unfortunate.
A little bit.
Oh, man. I could see this being very chaotic, because... It's real time, so you gotta like always go back to your mother. Is there a hotkey to go right back to your mothership?
If you have nothing selected, if you hit space bar, it'll go directly to your mothership.
Well, space bar, F8 also on the screen at the right side of the screen, you have flagship F8. I don't know if you see there.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, I see it. I got it.
F key that corresponds to each type of ship.
Yeah, so if you have multiple patrol ships, if you keep hitting F1, you'll cycle through all of them.
I see. Okie dokie.
See, that was a good move. Like, you're getting the small planet at the bottom over there.
Well, no one else was, so I figured I should at least try for it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good move. What you should try and do, though, is get the medium planet to the left over here. Oh, no. Yeah, it's coming for me.
That's a good idea too. I like that idea. I'm gonna try something with it. Let's see, how are we doing over here? Okay. Okay. So if like your units get under attack, is there a button? Like you hit a button to go right to where they're being attacked?
Actually, there is not really a button, but when your units are starting to get attacked, there's a little. If you look around the edge of the screen, you'll see an icon that appears, and if you click that, it'll bring you directly to the fight.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, check this ability out.
What the hell? Whoa!
Yeah, it kind of makes a black hole.
Damn.
Whoa! Kind
of that's like the rainbow connection gone.
Son of a bitch!
And now I'll just kind of come in and...
You fucker.
Now you want to try and make like a Corvette turn on its special ability. Very useful.
I don't even know if I have one nearby. Fuck.
Yeah, we want to create one.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I don't think I can create anything right now.
Out of metamatter?
What?
You need to chickenize a planet.
He has two planets, actually. He's pretty good with planets.
I can't create anything. Why can't I create anything? Okay, there we go. I thought I selected it, but I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one thing I like that AC Wraith in the chat said, and I like that the map is small.
Yeah.
That keeps it hectic, which is pretty great.
Now, if you turn on your special ability, I think you know what it does. Like the special ability of the Corvette, it kind of turns on a shield.
Yeah, I did that. Uh-oh, I think I'm about to die. Son of a bitch.
I'll try to send a free...
Yeah, I'll try and help you.
Oh, man. Kill him. Kill him. Take him out.
Oh, shit, that's the other side of the galaxy. It won't be easy.
Oh, okay. Phew. All right, I'm still kind of alive. Now, do ships repair over time, or do you have to build like a...
No, like I said, like don't get too attached to some ships.
What about your mother ship?
The Sublime Gate can heal ships when it tracks them.
Yeah, the Sublime Gate one. The flagship, if you die in multiplayer, you'll respawn.
Oh, okay. That's not too terrible, then.
No, it's not so bad.
Oh, shit. That was the worst.
What happened? What happened?
I was towing... I had a battleship. And another Corvette, and then I was towing it with a frigate, but I bumped one of my own, and it dumped everything into the planet. So that was
a special ability with your destroyer. It's like a long range snipe. I think you can get Yan.
Oh shit!
So I'm here to help you.
Oh dang. Something's so why happened. Why did that hurt so bad?
Well, because I had done Yeah, I had done some significant damage to Yan beforehand.
Oh, okay.
And you basically finished him off.
Wow. That was pretty intense. I wasn't expecting it to be a direct shot like that, because the other one, Greater Britain, isn't it that they have like that displacement bomb or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That one hits. That one does splash damage. It hits multiple people, whereas the Sublime Gate one is longer range, but it only hits one target.
Yeah, but that's pretty darn devastating. So.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Might need a nerf. Well, we'll find out. It used to be stronger. It used to be stronger. Okay, so Yan's going to respawn somewhere, but he might have respawned in the...
close to the northern planet.
Oh, he spawned behind you.
Wanted to be close to Brian.
Oh, great. That's what I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted. That's totally what I want.
So you can't slingshot out of the gravity well if you orbit around, so you can just kind of pass through. But
yes.
I'm not particularly good at that yet.
if you go pretty hard, if you go too hard, what's it called? If you use a proper ship, like if you use the frigate and try and go through certain planets, you can get through really fast. But you need to have a ship that drives like really fast, or flies really fast.
Oh crap!
Now what you should try and do is bump me into the planet.
That's what I'm gonna do as soon as I can disconnect the fucking tractor beam. God.
See, that's the thing. It's chaos. Yet it's very well organized chaos, because
damn it,
it's not at all random.
Okay, fine. Here we go.
Oh,
that was funny. That was funny.
Now, other things you can try and do is like hit asteroids. Like if you hit asteroids with torpedoes, you launch them.
I meant to ask what asteroids.
Aside from just killing you, you can use it to kill other people. Here, I'll try and send it towards you.
Oh wow! See? And that ability that I have—that's a shot like that. What makes it kind of dangerous, though, is that it knocks me backwards whenever I do it.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to watch out for your positioning.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Oh, no, see...
Oh, wow. Out of bounds. Is that a foul?
Out of bounds.
Oh God damn it!
Okay, so Pickle, I'm going to destroy you with an asteroid.
Or he's going to do some damage.
How many of these did you write down, Jim?
No, this is just off the cuff, man. Oh, man, you made the triple. See, you split those just in time, because that shot was coming.
And now what's cool is that the asteroid shields me from your lasers, if you look at it. Like, you can't hit me now, and I can't send another torpedo to just destroy you.
Ah, crap.
Oh, man.
I gotta build
more shit.
Asteroids can be used to destroy your opponent.
Oh wow, what happened there?
I destroyed you.
Oh, so I get to pick where my ship comes back.
You can
respawn
wherever you want, exactly.
Ah, very nice.
I keep forgetting to do shit. Okay, here we go.
Now, if you make another hen ship, you can try and take the medium planet again.
Okay. I've actually got a couple of hen ships, but that teleporter thing was not cool, man. That was not cool at all.
But it looks cool.
It does. It does look cool. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That looks cool. Okay. All right, so I got...
See, Yan's shooting asteroids at me.
Yikes. Okay. Oh, man. What is that battleship? That's the Duomtl? What is
it? You can just say Duo. It's supposed to be Duo MTL because Montreal... Duo is always taken in every single thing, so you kind of add MTL at the end of it.
That kind of makes sense.
A little bit.
Don't hit the asteroid. Don't hit the asteroid. Don't hit the asteroid. Oh, okay. All right, everyone leave.
Throwing the hand ships close to the big planet. I'm trying.
No, fuck! Son of a bitch.
Ah, I messed up.
I did too.
All my headships are gone.
Yeah. I did too. I totally messed up. I keep forgetting that I'm not supposed to throw shit into that blue shit. That's what I'm forgetting. That's what I keep forgetting about. Oh, crap. I just lost another guy because I was impatient. And son of a bitch me. Son of a fuck.
Sorry, like I said, you don't need to make two fast ships. See now, okay, you can ram me. If you use the patrol ship, put the Britannium spikes on.
No, okay.
By the way, I'll commend you on your self-control that you're not murdering me, Jan. So. It's like it's not good form to kill the hosts. So.
No, fuck. There goes that. Shit. Motherfucker. All right. I get another hen ship. Here's another thing I keep forgetting to do is building new ships. I keep I'm so focused on like one area.
The ships you already have. It's something you have to get past. It takes a little bit of time. But
yeah, it really does, because I'm just so used to, I should, build this and build that. Nope. I should focus on this. Nope, you just keep doing what you're doing, man. Stop. Just build ships, you idiot. Build more ships.
That'd be cool. If you use your destroyer, you can destroy my flagship very easily right now, the way it's placed.
Ooh. Son of a bitch. Okay. Don't hit the asteroid. Don't hit the asteroid. Oh.
I think I did the wrong thing.
It's just that you aimed to the left.
Yeah.
To the right.
Yeah. But then the recoil also put me in the asteroid, too, yeah. So. Darn it. Oh, I did hit it. Okay.
It was close.
Yay, I've got another planet. Yay, me.
If you look at the top, though, the game's almost over. You guys need to kill one of us fast.
Oh, how am I... Okay, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to try that. Here we go. How am I going to do that? I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do that.
We reached the victory points.
It was close.
Whoa, that was loud.
Yeah, wasn't that bad. You guys caught up.
Hey, good job, Jim.
Hey, I'll give this game 10 eggs out of a dozen.
Oh, God.
Not quite 12.
That hurts.
That's right.
That hurts. All right, let's try another round.
Yeah.
So wait, was that friendly or competitive? I don't remember.
That was friendly.
Let's do competitive.
Well, it's the same...
It would end up being the same thing. Just
it's just that it doesn't give you glory points when you win a match. That's the main difference. But when you play competitive, you cannot choose the sector in which you want to play.
Yeah,
you cannot choose the amount of victory points you need to earn before you win, because when you play in multiplayer, it's about earning victory points. So you need to, the way you earn victory points is by killing other ships or by harvesting metamatter from planet. Each time you harvest metamatter, it gives you a few points. And each time you kill ships, it gives you a few points. And when you kill an enemy flagship, then it gives you a lot of points. So
try Sector 4.
Right.
Yeah, so pretty much victory goes to the person that can actually hold the planets.
Well, you get a lot of points for collecting metamatter. but you get more points for killing stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's a mix of both.
And also, if you're let's say you're ranked number one, and you kill number four, the guy who's ranked number four, it won't give you a lot of points. But if you're number, let's say, four and you kill a ship that belongs to player number one, then it will give you a lot of points. There's an elastic, a bit like in, let's say, Mario Kart, for example.
Yeah, so it allows people to try and catch up if, you know, so you never really feel like you're out. There's always a chance you can come back. You just have to strategize who you kill, when you kill, stuff like that.
Right. So right now, these multiplayer matches are pretty much free for alls, it looks like. Well, even team based free for alls.
We're doing team based, yeah. But it's just basically a race to the victory points.
Are there going to be other modes planned?
Well, yeah, we can always add modes, but we don't, not necessarily sure at the moment. It depends. Well, I mean, a lot of people in the forums have been talking about other modes, so we'll probably add them, but we have to think about what we want to add and when we want to add it.
I want to see a soccer mode using asteroids.
Or well, actually, if you set the black holes up, right, that where they actually just, like, suck in ships or something, you could almost set up a billiards game where you have, like, a ship and you have to knock things into the holes.
And yeah, that would really change things up.
Multicolor asteroids with numbers on.
Or God, you could do a racing game, right? Like, just take one of the fast ships and it's like, how fast and accurately can you aim to get through this maze of asteroids versus the other players or something?
Oh, yeah, those are actually really interesting ideas. I mean, like, I never, when I played Warcraft 3, I never really even played online normally. I always played just tower defense, and those were just mods, right? That people made. Like, they weren't even, like, built into the game normally.
Yeah. So what is the yellow stuff around the center?
Moons.
Oh, okay.
The cheese moons. You didn't really see them in the last map, but when you hit those, they kind of work like a pinball machine. You, like, really fly off of them.
Oh.
So watch out.
So you won't crash into them like a planet. You'll bounce off them.
You'll bounce off them.
Right, but if you look at what's around, you're going to die. But this is interesting, though, because... so it's like a smoky stuff in between. I was expecting more asteroids than that.
The asteroids are... There are some asteroids, but if you click on the blue stuff, you'll see they're garbage clusters. So it's like just like space debris of like chicken waste and stuff like that. And they actually work like a fog of war kind of thing. You can only see inside of it once you go in. So if there could be an enemy hiding inside of it, right? You don't know.
Ooh.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, see, I my thought in here, because I was looking at the pattern of the holes, right? And it would almost be like, if those were an obstruction, then the only way to get to the other player, unless you wanted to take the slow, dangerous route through through what's the fog there, would be take the black hole or the warp hole.
The wormhole.
But then
yeah.
They know where you're going to come out. So yeah.
Exactly.
What the?
But it's sometimes it's like paying attention to what other people are doing is counterproductive. I mean, it's a good strategy to know what your enemies are doing, but sometimes you got to focus on yourself. So which one are you, Pickle?
I'm purple.
You're purple, so you're top right. Okay, I'm bottom left.
Does it randomize the positioning, or is it always player?
It does. Okay. And we actually got a comment about 2v2 saying that, like, it's kind of hard to do 2v2 because we're basically using the 4v4 map, like the, like, free-for-all maps. And we're just randomizing where you're going, right? So you were thinking about maybe making some maps that were specific to 2v2 so that you would be closer to your ally and you'd be able to come up with better strategies instead of just being so far apart and it just ends up being a free-for-all where you're with someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So would I be able to set this up? Because you were saying about you can bring AI into a match. So if it was two players, they could get on one team and then they could set two AI on the other team. Right, and just go at them.
Exactly. Okay. So you can play like co-op that way.
Oh, okay.
So you can play with a friend against two AI. Yeah.
So who actually coded the AI? Because it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Yeah, it's true.
So
Simon, Vince.
I mean,
sorry.
Simon Lavallée coded the AI. That's his name.
Okay. Yeah, one of our programmers. It was his main job just to focus on the AI.
Yeah, it really doesn't let up. It does a good job.
Well, in a game with this much stuff going on and so many different ways to approach something, to figure out some sort of a weighted decision tree AI is pretty impressive, actually. You know.
Yeah, I dig it. It definitely. I've played a few skirmishes after doing the tutorial, and it kicked my ass pretty thoroughly.
What did you put them on?
I didn't change them. I just left them as to whatever they were. Okay, oh, so crap!
They defaulted to normal.
Crap! Sons of bitches hiding in the cloud. Sons of bitches hiding in the cloud. You assholes. You sons of bitches. I'm coming for you, you bastards. Oh, no. Oh, gotta protect my henships. Oh.
I missed.
What was that?
I missed.
Oh, I consider myself lucky that you missed.
Well, I was the patrol ship.
Oh, shit. Suck it. Bump.
So you can't take Brian anywhere.
Suck on my egg. Suck on my egg. All right, I'm going to... Phew! All right, I got to...
And as you notice, when ships get destroyed, they also drop, barren metamatter that you can pick up.
Yeah, I did notice that. I gotta fortify this perimeter around my one little planet here.
It's okay. Yan's got the big one.
Is there a planet in the middle? Oh,
that's what she said.
There's a planet in the middle.
Is it time for me to, that's what she said? Can I do that? Yan's got the... What? Oh, shit. That was unfortunate.
What was unfortunate?
My strategy over there. I bumped his ship, but in doing so, I... drove one of mine into the asteroid. So.
Oh, that's the worst.
Not so great, you know.
Not so great.
Hey, sneaky. I see you trying to move your henship out of the way.
Son of a bitch! Who is that? Oh, it's an ally. Okay.
I just tried to attack Alien Pickle, but I ended up in your zone. Because when you have multiple wormholes of the same color...
Oh, you don't get to choose which one you come out of.
Yes. You just come out of one of them.
That's great. That is really great, actually. I really dig that.
Oh, hey now.
What?
Sneaking up on me. Killing my shit.
I know. That's
going to throw you an asteroid. I'll try.
So what's going on over here? Okay. Got some henships, and we got a thing. Okay. Who's got the tractor beam? I always forget who's got the tractor beam.
The frigate. The frigate.
Frigate. Frigate, 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 frigate. Come here, frigate. Ah, frigate. Bonk. Boom. Make that frigate. Oh, yeah. Make that frigate, motherfucker. All right. Woo!
Now, if you look at the middle, I'm going to try and hit Yan into the moons. I didn't. Oh. There we go.
I helped myself. I suicided myself.
To prove a point, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, good shot, Alien Pickle. You bumped me. In a good way. Unfortunately, we can play this game together.
What is that noise?
Is it like a fan noise?
Oh, damn. That was a little stronger than... Yeah, see, that's the thing, is, like, when I'm looking elsewhere, I'm losing.
I know, right?
You can always use the minimap to help you, though.
Ooh. I'm taking damage. Now, remember, your ships have special abilities. You can pop on that... the shield on that that Corvette right there.
Yeah, and I like how when he's got the shield on, he's harder to hit.
Yeah, he's actually invulnerable to any sort of laser fire. But what he isn't invulnerable to is torpedoes. Boom.
Oh, man.
Although he almost got me, though.
That was neat. That was neat. Okay, gotta make some more ships. Because shit. Who knows what else is hiding in this cloud? Ooh, what's going on there? Alright. Ooh. Yeah, so this engine that the game is built on, what is this? Unity? What engine is it?
Yeah, it's Unity.
Because it's very smooth and very colorful. Now, because it's Unity, are you planning on porting it to any other devices like tablets or anything?
Yeah, this would be a natural for a touch platform, I think.
Yeah, we could do that, but we really made the game for PC first, though, because we knew about because of software, we knew about Steam a little bit, and we really wanted to make a good game for PC first, but. Then later, maybe, why not? Like, it could naturally work on a tablet, I think.
Yeah, it totally could. This is, like, made for a touch interface where you just pull back from the ship and, you know, maybe make the device vibrate a little bit. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
A little tactile feedback there. Where did that mothership go? There was a mothership over here, and now it says, is it hiding?
No, you killed me. I am, it's yours. Okay.
I didn't kill the mothership. I damaged it.
I think it was both of you. I was stuck between you guys and a nebula.
Oh no. Oh no. Bye bye, fella. Oh.
So now I'm all the way in the top left.
Top left. Oh, I see.
Had to do a little sacrifice there.
Huh, okay.
Use your torpedo ship to destroy me.
I couldn't get the torpedoes out. Like, every time I would go to flip one, I would pop.
Yeah, there's also a little shortcut.
So you have, if you look at the bottom of the screen, close to your action icons, you have numbers. One,
oh,
two,
yeah.
Seven. That's those keys to activate the icon. So, for example, if you click on your torpedo ship, if you click the number two icon, it will directly trigger you, activate the launch torpedo mode.
Yeah, it'll just switch to the ability. Oh no, I think I just killed him. Sorry. I saw a ship next to me and I'm just like, I'm gonna shoot a torpedo at that, but it was your ship. My bad.
Oh no. Okay, I thought I just bumped my hen ship. Oh shit, I need more hen ships. More hen ships. I do want more hen ships. Oh, bonk. Someone just fell into the planet. That was funny. That was really funny, actually. Need more hen ships. More. I need more.
I see everyone's going for the middle planet.
Oh, now. God, that's funny. That is funny. That's exactly what everyone's doing, because someone left it on. Someone left it undefended.
A little nod at Yen. You guys need more henships on that, though.
I know. I see. I'm building some. I am building some. Get out of the way. Get out of the way, you. Just move over there. Move over there. Oh, no! Oh, that was stupid. All right. Well, whatever. Okay. Let's not do that again.
Oh.
Let's not do that again.
Oh, if you use your special, he's dead. Oh, he's dead anyways. No, maybe not. I'm coming. Oh, double kill.
Oh, we both died.
That was mutual.
Alright, come on, henship. Let's go.
We're at a stalemate now. We're
Why did you stop, man? Why did you stop? Why did you stop? I don't understand why you stopped.
It's because Yan's henship is on there. Yan, if you moved your henship from the middle, he'd be able to get the planet.
Okay, I do that.
Yes, more hens.
Yeah, this is hands down the best game that I've played all week.
Oh, God!
The puns.
I'll be in town all week.
Make it stop.
Okay. There was a post on Rock, Paper, Shotgun that came out for the game, and everyone's like, the puns didn't start till about a day later, and everyone's like, I'm surprised that there's strength at this form.
Yeah, right? Come on, henships. Go.
Oh.
Go, henships. Flood the planet. Flood it!
Well, that's almost yours. There you go.
Ha-ha! Make it mine. Mine!
Oh, no, you hit the moon.
That's funny as shit. I don't know. Because the lasers are killing all these little chickens while we're throwing chickens at the planet. I just love how precise the lasers are. Like, slice the chickens. Precise laser ordnance. What was that? Precise laser ordnance will take out those chickens. Is there someone hiding in the cloud? Oh, there is, you son of a bitch. I see you there, you bastard.
I'm around.
It's a shame you can't track your enemies. That'd be funny. It makes sense, though. It makes sense, though, but that'd be funny nonetheless.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. There's a, the Celestial Empire. I don't think anyone is that faction right now, but their corvette is able to charm enemy ships. And when you do that, then you can use them for like a minute. And then you can track to them.
Charm enemy ships? Really?
Oh, you almost got out. Almost had escape velocity right there. What would be cool is if you could tow ally ships. Like, the ally ships that are...
Yeah, like, that would be very great. That would be great. Yeah, that'd be really great. Hey, I can build a battleship.
Yeah, cool. You have enough metamatter now.
Cool.
And the battleships, you're able to make other ships with them.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You're able to make patrol ships, torpedo ships, and corvettes.
Oh, man. Don't fall into the black hole. No. Okay. And let's see, what's this special ability? Creates a zone around the battleship, which all lasers are diverted toward the Oh, that's kind of nifty. Like a kind of a... kind of extra... Whoa! Did I just do that? Oh, I hit it accidentally. Oh,
whoa. This is a really tight one. Phrasing is terrible.
I like how... there's one planet up here where there's one hen ship for each faction, so it's kind of a stalemate.
Yeah, you need a little bit more than that.
I think that's funny. And we got two hen ships over here with this one, and this is an enemy. Hey! I see you! Don't think I don't see you. Oh! Yay! Ooh, yay!
Wow, that was really close.
Oh my god, that was really close. That was 15 point difference.
Yeah, no, one time we were playing a game and I lost by 1 point. It was a 1,999 in a 4-player match.
Damn. So, yeah,
rough.
So this is still in early access.
Yes.
What else needs to be done before it gets out of early access?
Honestly, we want to just listen to the community and build off of that. The single player is complete. We'll probably adjust the difficulty. It's a lot of balancing. It's a huge balancing act. That's what our early access is going to be. We don't plan on being there for like 6 months or a year. We're going to be there for a few months, okay. Build off the community and just feed off it.
And where did you get the idea? Cause I love this idea. I wish more people would do it. Cause right now you have a 2-for-1 thing. Yeah. That is a fabulous idea on multiple levels. Cause one, you know, you get more people talking about your game once they play it. Two, it fosters really awesome goodwill. And it gets the game in the hands of more people that'll hopefully do multiplayer like this and then stream.
Exactly. The biggest reason we wanted to do the 2-for-1 is because, like our game, like the single player is really cool, but the game really shines, like conflicts really shines when it's in multiplayer. So we really wanted to like get some 2v2 going on. Like if someone goes with their friend, you're obviously going to play with that person, right? So if you go into 2v2 matches, you already have something with the game.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely. Are you going to sell a 4-pack as well? Because if you did like a 4-for-2, I guess, would be the same as a 2-for-whatever. But yeah.
The main difficulty now is that in Steam, it's not super well announced. Buy one, get one free promotion. It's not shown on the banner art.
Yeah, well, but people have 2-pack or have the 4-pack things, right? Where it will actually show, you know, I can buy a 4-pack.
Yeah, I think, but we emailed Steam, but they haven't updated the store page yet. I don't think.
Okay.
No, but for the 4-pack, it's not available yet. But it's
he's saying for other games, like you can see that it says a 4-pack or a 2-pack.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And AC Wraith in the Twitch chat also says that giving an extra copy of the game away removes people who complain about empty servers because there's more people playing.
But we're going to address that a little bit too, because we announced that we wanted to have like scheduled like gaming events every day from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Some of the dev team is going to be playing between those hours all the time. So if you want to do competitive matches.
And 8 to 10 Eastern daytime.
Eastern time, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So we want to encourage people to play during those hours so that the servers are full and so that, because we want people to play multiplayer. We want people to join in on the leaderboards. But, you know, in a 24-hour day, if no one's playing if someone's not playing multiplayer at the exact same time you go, you might get discouraged. So if we have this scheduled time, especially if the devs are there, you can come play with us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Right.
And yeah, playing multiplayer is the best way to learn about the game. You learn the good tricks by playing multiplayer. Faster than by playing in the campaign. But we plan to make it a bit easier also. So adjust things according to feedback. So some people say it's too easy.
Some people say it's too hard. It's back and forth. It's hard to please everyone, right?
Well, a thing that you could do that I've seen some other games do is where they'll put out like a puzzle level once a week or something. So it'll be like the weekly challenge kind of thing. And it has almost like a separate leaderboard for that. And that just keeps people coming back every week you know, to...
Well, we've had ideas like you said, the level editor. If we did make a level editor, we would want to do something like a weekly or a monthly event where the best levels get input into the game and stuff like that, like directly and stuff like. So that would be pretty cool.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. So how open is the game to modding? Because Unity has a little bit of trouble with importing assets and stuff because everything's kind of encrypted in those prefab files. But honestly, I'm feeling a Star Trek mod. Like we could have like, you know, just do like Klingons.
Omulans.
Yeah, but the Klingons, they would be kind of the angry birds. Can I say that without getting sued? And
maybe.
No. Just a chicken with like ridges on its head. I don't know. But everybody makes every space game ever gets a Star Trek and a Star Wars mod. I don't know why, but this one couldn't be any different.
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, and Vince, how easily moddable would the game be if we tried to implement that?
I'd have to speak with
our programmers.
I don't see why it couldn't be done. Like it's just a matter of
the amount of time it takes.
Time and the size of the community. If people ask it a lot, we will try to implement it. That's as simple as that.
Okay, because I can see the Enterprise as like a waffle and two drumsticks, and we need to get you guys in contact with the Galactos people because they.
The Galactos people, sorry?
Yeah. Have you seen Galactos? It's a they did a space game about food, so they have like pie fighters and cupcakes with machine guns on them.
Pie fighters?
Yeah.
No, send me the link. I'll definitely check it out.
Their motherships are a turkey and what's the other one? A cake?
Yeah, it's a cake and a cuz it's like the junk food versus the healthy diet. So and the mothership that's the turkey. It has like little garlic turrets on it, and
right.
It's so ridiculous.
And then you have cupcake fighters and burger bombers, if I recall. So it's good. I'm really loving that there's room that people not only are making more space games, but are making more unique and quirky space games, which is nice.
Yeah, you got to do something new, right?
Well, yeah, because it keeps it fun. Right, and it's
exactly,
you know, the problem, flight sims more so than space games, but flight sims got murdered by rivet counters. You know, people that were just like, we need it more realistic, we need it harder to play. You know,
the ME-109 didn't sound like that when you went into a stall.
Yeah, well,
you need to fix that.
Well, and it's that's the thing where you get it to the point where you can't just pick up a joystick and go fly the thing, like, you know, Battlehawks 1942. You just get in there, right, and but then it got to the point where it was like, okay, not only do I use every key on the keyboard with a modifier for control and alternate, but then I have to get a stick and a throttle and foot pedals in order to control this beast. And Brian, have you embarked on flying the A-10C
I read a book about the A-10.
Yeah, but you have the game. Though you have A-10C, right?
Yeah,
dude, I put 3 weeks of my life into figuring out how to drop a laser guided bomb.
That's why I haven't done it.
That's right.
There's so much else to play.
That's right. So
I got other shit to look at.
So that's my point, right? Is that this is a cool pick it up and play it game, but you're not going to see everything there is to see in the first sitting, and you're definitely not going to be as good as you're going to get.
Nice.
So, yeah, and that's the deal. So if we get a healthy multiplayer community where you come online and there's people, because that's the problem on Steam. Like, there's some games out there, like Gimbal, right? Is like, I bought a 4-pack of Gimbal. I went online and there's nobody. And then I look in Steam stats and it's like most players ever was 60 and players today was 1. And it's just like, well, that's a problem. Yeah, because there's like no AI to play against. So if you don't have other players.
At least you have that, right? If there's no one in the servers and you don't have any friends on, at least you can play against AI. We want to make an even harder difficulty for the people that are super hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that's the deal with like the periodic challenges thing, you know, weekly, monthly, whatever. If you just throw something in there, like, let these people that think it's not hard enough make stuff for each other, You know, if you get that level editor out there, it's like, you know, challenge each other then if we didn't do it for you.
Yeah, make crazy levels.
Yep.
But no, definitely for sure. But yeah, the main thing right now is to be just trying to just bolster the community as much as possible. And that's what we really want to do with these scheduled like play events.
Mm.
Right.
But you can also play with your friends. Since we give you a free copy, you'll never be completely alone. And the campaign is last for like more than, I would say, 8 hours. So
yeah, it's like 8 to 12 hours. Yeah. Solid.
That's pretty good.
So it's not like if you have nothing, if you don't play in multiple.
Yeah, there's stuff there no matter what.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is that gives value down the road, you know, like years from now. You can still pick it up and play it, right? Whether the population persists or not. So, you know,
this is why we worked hard on the story and the universe. We wanted to make a game that could stand alone very well and offer a rich campaign environment.
Yeah.
So, is there any expansions planned, DLC, that sort of thing after the campaign, like new campaigns, anything like that?
There's always ideas floating around, but it really depends on how big the community gets, what the people want. Like you said before, if they really just want mod stuff, maybe we'll do mod stuff. If they want more campaigns, more factions, maybe we'll do that. So we really, like I said, we really want to just listen to the community and see what they want.
We could add more empires, more nations. Like right now, we have empires inspired from England, France, Spain, and Germany, and then Turkey. So, but we could add a lot more. Like we made the jokes when we developed the game. We could say the Eskimos, and we could have China,
Russians,
and you know, we could have lots of stuff. The Aztec people, so they could all have their own technology.
So. Yeah, we've got a design, so we got like a spreadsheet at work that just has like filled with special abilities that we haven't used.
Yeah. Well, so if you give me an editor where I can actually make a campaign, I promise you I will port the campaign from Homeworld over to this.
Right. Sorry, I'm trying to reply to people in the chat.
No worries.
There's three chats, so it's like,
Oh, there's three chats? Where I'm watching it on Twitch. Where else is...
I'm using a service called Restream.io, which also streams to Twitch, YouTube, and Hitbox at the same time, which is pretty nifty. But
then you gotta watch three chat rooms, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. YouTube Gaming is launching tomorrow, everyone.
That's the streaming service YouTube has, right?
Yeah, that's going to be their Twitch competitor, so we might try that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And I saw a thing, too, in there for, like, the YouTube people, because I just went through turning on the whole AdSense deal for my own channel, because I'm doing a thing that's like, because we do just space games here, so I'm going to do the everything that's not space games channel. And, you know, so... kind of give an outlet for the other stuff that I play. But in the process of setting the stuff up for that, then YouTube suggests to me, like, hey, here's this new YouTube gaming community thing that we're making. Why don't you join that? And I had no idea that... So apparently they're taking it quite seriously.
Yeah, they
want to take a bite out of YouTube or Twitch.
I have tried it, and it actually works. It's still a little clunky, but it actually works fairly well.
Do you have to use OBS also, or what?
You can use OBS also. It gives you a specific, you can use a custom. You use you know how there are predefined things in OBS? You can set it to custom and put in
your own stuff for sure.
Your own stuff, yeah. So,
YouTube have its own standalone thing also, or you have to use like a third party broadcasting thing?
No, you can use OBS. And it's got a dashboard similar to Twitch. I'm looking at it right now, actually. It's got a dashboard similar to Twitch. Even though I'm streaming right now onto YouTube, I see. So I had to go to my other thing. There's a control room for each. Like, you can have more than one stream, maybe? But you can have a, you know, highlights, and you can do all sorts of stuff, actually. You can set alerts and insert sale ads, like, while you're streaming, it looks like. And
yeah, that's the one thing I read, that it's a lot easier to get ad revenue, because on Twitch you have to be a, like, a partnered member or something like that.
Yeah.
And then on YouTube, it just works like YouTube does. You turn on ads, and then you make money.
Yeah, yes. And honestly, YouTube is my preference anyway, because Twitch, I don't know. Twitch just, there's some of the streamers there that are legitimately doing what I think should be done, and then there's a lot of them that I just do not understand how they have the people in there that they do.
Yeah, some people play games and other people are just ridiculous.
Yes, exactly. And
yeah, but it's the same thing on YouTube. I mean, like, the ridiculous personalities like you know, PewDiePie or something like that get the views.
Right.
Yeah. People want to see ridiculousness.
Yeah. Well, I saw this one where it was like this one streamer, his shtick is his dysfunctional family, which is completely fake, but it was like his dad comes in and like smashes his computer in the middle of a stream.
Really?
And yeah. And
okay. That I've never seen before.
Yeah. And then it was like, wow, that was pretty intense. And then there's another video where dad's like blowing up his Xbox, and it's like,
this is like streaming on Twitch.
It's YouTube, but I think he streams Twitch and then converts it over to YouTube. Kind of like what we do. But yeah, it was like, I saw the first one and I was like, wow, that's pretty wild. And then there was like four other tragedies where his dad freaked out and did something, you know, terrible to him on a stream. So I'm just like, yeah, okay. So this is an arranged thing or whatever. But
And they had the one
girl on there. She's talking about like how she thinks that Twitch should come out with some sort of a cleavage detector, and then they can just ban the girls off of there with the cleavage. And she's like probably the most cleavage show in person I've ever seen on a stream. And she's talking about the, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a little more serious.
And you don't have enough cleavage to compete, so we have to do it a different way. Yeah.
I'm actually working on losing what cleavage I have.
It's always a good goal. So but, did you guys have any last questions about conflicts?
No, I my brain is melting.
I am quite proud though. I just got my Baron Pink Blossom trading card.
Nice.
The team dropped it on me, so I'm an achiever.
He's a really bad guy.
Well, Jan, Vincent, and Adam, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your evening. You're 3 hours ahead, right? So it's getting a little late there. Right. But I do want to thank you for taking the time out of your evening to talk about conflicts. This is,
well, thanks for having us. It was a pleasure.
Oh, it's a pleasure, guys. This is a really fun game that is different, and you have to wrap your brain around it differently than most other real time strategy games, because it's not drag and move, it's flick and move, and it's just different, and you gotta play it to see it. But
yeah, and this crepe won't stick to your pan.
It won't, and oh my god, and
you have to get one last thing in there.
And right now you get two for the price of one as we're recording this.
Yeah.
So that's an even better deal. So buy one for you, get one for a friend. Play it in multiplayer. You can have a team game against the AI even, which is pretty great. So guys, thank you so much for watching. I want to see what we have next week. Cause I don't goddamn remember. Just one second. I think we have Lords of Rigel.
Oh, really?
We have them next week. So stay tuned for that. And guys, if you're watching live or if this goes up beforehand on Thursday, we're going to be having a multiplayer game with the developer of Yargus, Space Melee. So, we're trying to get things more and more happening. So hopefully we'll have a lot of fun. And last thing, I try not to pimp it too much, but I just want to say, please go to my Patreon page. What's the address, Jim?
Hipsterwelfare.com/.
Yes. Yes.
Hipsterwelfare.
Exactly. I actually so did good. Register hipsterwelfare.com and redirect
you did not.
It to them. Yes. Yes, I did. And then they banned it, so you can't get there anymore through my link. But anyway, it's patreon.com/probablyspacegamejunkie.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And I was just told today that I don't pimp my Patreon page often enough. So there you go. So thank you for watching and listening, folks. Thank you to our guests for joining us, and we will see you next time. Good night. We're out.
Cool. So that was fun.
A lot of fun.